We're doing the Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, the 48th speech. So he begins by quoting a Medrash. The Medrash says, when there was the plague of blood, Yisrael v'mitzri shayu shotim b'sefel echad, if a Jew and an Egyptian were drinking from one vessel, haya mitzri shote dam, the Egyptian would drink through his straw, blood would come out, v'yisraeli shote mayim, and the Jew would drink out water. That's the Medrash. V'nishnit lanu bekan hadgasha miyuchedet al shimush nes v'teva b'irbuvia. So here our sages taught us a unique situation where you had nature and miracle mixing in. The Jew drinks, he gets the natural water. The Egyptian drinks, he gets the miraculous blood. There's a mixture of nature and miracle happening in that cup. The water turning to blood was a miracle. But to have one vessel which contains blood and water, and he drinks, he gets water, he drinks, he gets blood, that's a miracle within a miracle. Look at the second introduction to the work Gvurot. There is obviously a special relationship here between this miracle and the whole concept of the redemption from Egypt. And in order to understand this, we have to introduce it with what our sages teach us in the end of the fourth chapter of Sanhedrin. Rabbi Elazar asked the contradiction. K'tiv tov Hashem lakol. It says Hashem is good to all His creatures. V'k'tiv tov Hashem lakovav. And there's another pasuk that says Hashem is good to those who hold out for Him, whose hope is in Hashem. How does that work? Is it for everyone or only those who hope for Hashem? That was Rabbi Elazar's question. Mashal adam sheyesh lo pardes. It's similar to a person who has an orchard. When he has to water his orchard, everyone gets water together. He waters all his trees together. The good trees, the bad trees, the fish. Because it's only one work. You turn on the hose, you water everything all together. But when he starts working the ground around the trees, there he has to work with his shovel around each and every tree, in order al atovim. He puts in his effort specifically for each tree. So that's Rabbi Elazar's answer. There's one type of good that's like watering your crops. You water everyone together. You don't start saying, this one's better, that one's worse, I'll give this one more water or less. You just turn on the faucet, or in their days, you open the dam, and you get water for all your crops. When it comes to working each tree, that's a different type of good. That's where it says Hashem is good to those who hold out hope for Him. We see here there are two types of good that Hashem does for the world. One is like watering the fields where everyone gets good together. And then the second type of good is like working the ground, and then only people who hope for that good, Hashem gives it to them. And understanding the impact of these two types of good that Hashem does is understanding the purpose of Hashem's kindness, so to speak. We find in a few places these two ways in which Hashem treats the world. And we'll copy over here what he wrote in his work on Shavuos. Over there, what we wrote is like this. Our sages say, you guys know every Shabbos, we say, you have 26 times, ki leolam chasdo, that because God's kindness is eternal. Why did King David write 26 times God's kindness is eternal? Hanemarim be'alel gadol, that's called the great Hallel. Hem kineged 26 dorot shebra kadosh baruch hu bolamo velo natan lehem Torah. That corresponds to the 26 generations of the world that preceded Torah, v'zanotam bechasdo. And even though they didn't have a Torah, out of God's kindness He kept them alive. Shena kavana b'ze ki b'matan Torah nitkaten chasdo yitbarach kavechol. So that would seem to say that after Hashem gave the Torah, so then He gives less kindness to the world. Now we have a Torah. No, he says, that's not the idea. Ki b'shum ofen lo nitan la'amer shekodem matan Torah nizon ha'olam b'chasdo yitbarach. You can't say that prior to the giving of the Torah, so then the world was fed off of God's kindness. And after God gave the Torah, God is less kind, so to speak. That's not the point. But the idea is that before giving the Torah, God's kindness was a kindness of forgoing. He gives in, so to speak. Let's say you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven gives Shimon whatever he needs. Reuven's a wealthy businessman. Shimon's a poor brother. What's he going to do? He could feed him in one of two ways. Either, he could tell him every day, bring me your bills, I'll give you the money you need. Or else he could tell him, you know what? Let me give you a side business. You work that business, you'll make your own income. If you look at it superficially, then the first root seems to be greater kindness. Because in the second way of doing kindness with Shimon, so you could say, hey, Reuven's not doing any kindness for his brother. Shimon's earning his own keep. That's not real kindness. But everyone knows, if you look beyond the surface, giving someone else capacity to earn their own keep is a greater kindness. You might say, but you're not giving him money every day. Right, right, that's bigger kindness, that he doesn't have to get my money every day. So the concept of the kindness prior to the Torah, prior to the receipt of the Torah, it's like they had no business. They had no right. The world didn't have a right to existence. The world was floundering. Well, what right do we have? What kindness was the world doing? God said, okay, there's still hope. I'll keep you around. And it's like the brother who has no business to keep him sustained. So every day, Reuven gives him a little bit of money to cover his course. Every generation, Hashem says, okay, you guys are not what you should be, but I'll keep you around anyways. And that's why we say those 26 generations prior to the receipt of the Torah, Hashem was forgoing. He said, okay, we'll let it slide. But once Hashem gave us the Torah, from that point onward, the chesed is tenfold. Now it's like God gave us a business. He says, now you could do what it takes to keep the world going. You could live up to the morality I want you to live up to. It's as though you can make a living off of the business. For 26 generations, it was kindness where God forwent things, and then it turns into a kindness of justice. The kindness was that there's room for us to legitimize our own existence. If humanity exists and they're not living up to God's values, so then it's God's kindness. He's forgoing the fact that we're not living up to His values. Once God gives us the system and says, now I'm telling you what values to live up to, then God says, okay, now it's my kindness, but there's justice involved. You can earn your keep, so to speak. You can live up to those values, and then although it's kindness that God keeps the world running, but it's a different level of kindness. You guys with me? Yes, no, maybe so? No. Mike, you want to explain it to him?
No.
Okay. We said there are two types of kindness. There's kindness where he gives him money every day,
right,
and that's lower, really. And then there's kindness where he gives him a way to earn his own keep.
Give a man a fish or teach him how to fish.
Right. So when there was no Torah in the world, we didn't have any real merits to keep the world running. For 26 generations, Hashem was just forgoing. He was saying, okay, they're not living up to what they should be living up to, but I'll let the world keep going. That's a lower level of kindness. Once Hashem gave the Torah, it's a kindness that Hashem has demands of us, but we can live up to those demands. So it's like teaching us how to fish. It's like giving us a business. Mm-hmm. Hashem gave us a Torah. Hashem gave us a system where we could live up to that system. We could do mitzvos. We can keep the world on a level where we have a right to live. It's still Hashem's kindness, but it's Hashem's kindness that He gave us that right, that He gave us that tool. Yeah?
Yes.
So then the giving of the Torah, you can't say that that's... In giving the Torah, God decreased His kindness to the world. But it was a deepening of the kindness. It was a totally different level of kindness. Every generation had its lacking. Every generation had its area where it was decrepit, and God said, I'll forgo it. That's why we have 26 descriptions of God's kindness. Each generation had their problems, and God said, I'll forgo it, I'll keep the world another generation. From the giving of the Torah, where God's kindness was that He gave us a system, and then God, so to speak, demands of us, but then it's God's kindness that within that system we can live up to those demands. So then that puts all generations within one system of kindness. So then the generations are no longer unique. They're all held to one standard. Are you living up to the Torah? That's the kindness. So this is a quote, what he wrote regarding Shavuos. So it's easy to understand that when it comes to all of the planet, when it comes to all of creation, so that's the lower level of kindness where God says, okay, I'll forgo it. Remember we said there are two types of kindness. Remember we said, the Gemara said there are two types of good. One is Hashem is good to everyone. That's like watering the whole field at once. So that's when Hashem forgoes for the whole world and says, I'll just keep it going. Yes? On the other hand, when Hashem says, I'll give the kindness based on how much they're living up to the Torah, that's like working the trees. Where Hashem says, each one depending on how valuable they are, that's the kindness they'll merit. Because when you say, forget it, I'll let the world ride another generation, you're letting the whole world go. It's not a specific individual relationship. So everyone benefits at the same time. And then there's no individual relationship here. It's a relationship vis-a-vis the globe. Just as when you water the field, the whole field gets water, so too the whole world can get a certain benefit when God's willing to forgo things. Because in the first relationship, the stress was the giver. The giver says, I don't care, I turn on a hose, the whole field gets watered. Whereas in the second type of relationship, the stress is on the recipient.
The earning.
The earning, right. It's how much did you earn, it's your own business. Hashem gave us the Torah, each person has the capacity to earn. So then there's an individual relationship, there's an individual question, how much does each one deserve? So then, the giving isn't the stress. The stress is how much did each individual earn. Being that the essence is how much did each one earn, so to speak, the question is how much does each one receive? So then that's each giving, so to speak, is focused to each individual. How much did each person live up to his duties, and then how much does each one deserve? Like how good is each tree? How much am I going to work the earth around that tree? Two types of good Hashem gives to the world. One is watering the whole planet. One is working each tree. And then you look at each tree and you say, how much work is it worth? That's the idea where we have the Torah. Each one of us can define how much we're worth, so to speak. How much is it worth to invest in us?
So that's what
we explained.
Okay, this is
we said that forgoing is like an introduction, and then giving is an actual, like the essence of an action. You guys with me? Giving is like the business, he earns his keep. Forgoing is like an introduction, let it exist long enough to receive. Hashem forwent for 26 generations, and then Hashem said, okay, each one, based on what he deserves, he's going to get. When you forgo, let's do the reverse. Let's say you don't forgo. Right? Let's say God would say, I'm not forgoing. We say Hashem gives kindness to the world. Right? He says, I'm willing to forgo a lot. Hashem could say, I'm not going to forgo. What does it mean I'm not going to forgo? I'm going to withhold that kindness that I would have given had I forgone. Right? So there's... One second, let's see. The second type of kindness... You guys with me? Slowly. The second type, so the first type of kindness, if you want to prevent it, so then you withhold. Because you're forgoing, and you say, I will no longer forgo, so then I'm no longer going to grant that kindness. The second type of kindness is when you form something that has the capacity to receive it. When Hashem gave the plagues to the Egyptians, so there was withholding the first type of kindness, withholding, so to speak, Hashem says, I forwent until now, now I'm stopping to forgo. Until this point, until the point of the plagues, Hashem said, I'm willing to ignore what's going on wrong here. Now I'm not going to ignore it anymore. The giving of the Torah at Sinai is the second type of kindness. Where Hashem says, that's active giving you. I'm giving you the business. Two stages. You guys with me? The Makos in Mitzrayim, Hashem says, I've forgotten until now. I will no longer forgo. Until now I was willing to forgo everything you did. Now I won't.
Why is that called kindness?
Well, Hashem didn't destroy the Egyptians until the plagues. That's kindness to the Egyptians.
Kindness was sustaining them until he stopped.
Right. So the Makos, he's saying, we have to see the Makos as not only a question of what do we, the Jewish people, deserve, but the Makos were a point of Hashem saying, I will no longer turn a blind eye, so to speak. Meaning now, I'm not going to keep doing that first type of kindness where I'll just forgo it and let the whole world receive blessing together. You guys, let's see where he's headed. Oh, yeah.
Flourishing.
Right.
Like a very regular, like, you know, but you often do that the rain, the Nile would flood at this time of year every year. It was very regular in that regard.
The next point he develops as follows. That Mishnah tells us that God purposely created the human being singular. God could have created two men. God created one man. Why did God begin the world with one man? So the Mishnah gives us many reasons. One reason is we should recognize that all of humanity has one father. We should treat one another more kindly. One reason is we should all be humble. We all come from the same source. One reason is that we should realize the importance of every individual. God created the whole world for man. Man begins with one man. Look at how important one man is. The whole world began from one man. We should realize the importance of each and every individual, the Mishnah says. And that's the concept that's called Bishvili Nivra Olam. The whole world was created for me. So far, are we all together? Okay. Sometimes we have a miracle that's miraculous. It's unique. There's no nature at play. Sometimes you have a miracle that's a mix of nature and miracle working together, like the story of the blood and the water. He's drinking water, he's drinking blood. The water is natural, the blood is unnatural. If there are a lot of people who are going to have Hashem's kindness, so then it's hard to sense that Hashem is the one giving it. If I see everyone around me makes a living, so I say it's normal. I'm also making a living. If everyone around me is breathing, it's normal I'm breathing. If everyone around me has children, it's normal I have children. If everyone around me wouldn't have children and I'd have children, then I'd realize, oh, God gave me a blessing. Right? When everyone gets, so everyone feels like it's normal. Suddenly we're all blinded to the blessings we receive. Even though there's a lot of people getting. But that only makes us blinder. Every person individually is receiving, is getting his business, is getting his Torah, is getting his blessing, but no one sees it. How do you get a person to realize that he is unique and that Hashem is treating him uniquely?
Take away from someone else.
Oh. Oh. So, wait. When you have a miracle and nature at play at the same time, so then you start seeing, wait a second. So there's a miracle at play here. A person thinks if the sun is shining, it's shining for all of us together. The sun's not shining for me. The sun's shining for the planet. And then he starts thinking, wait a second, so did God create the sun for me or not? What does the Mishnah say? The whole world was created for you. But I can't live that way. I think the sun's created for everyone. When you have a miracle and nature at play at once, so then you stop and you say, wait, so then the nature isn't normal. If I see blood and water coming out of the cup, then it's not normal for me to look at the cup and say, ah, of course, I have a cup of water. Why shouldn't I have a cup of water? If I look at the cup and I see, wait, part of that cup is blood and part of the cup is water, I no longer look at the water as being normal. Why should I have my cup of water? You guys with me?
It seems like a gift.
Ah, then I suddenly appreciate that what I'm used to as nature is unique. Then I look at the sun and I say, wait a second, all the Egyptians have darkness for 7 days. Then when the sun shines for Am Yisrael, suddenly the 10 plagues being unique, that they get the plagues and we don't get the plagues, then suddenly we appreciate, wait, so the fact that we have sunlight in Egypt is not natural. We look at the sun differently. How come they have darkness for 7 days? It's a little hard. I'm flying through the Hebrew because I understand it's hard for you guys to follow the Hebrew, but... We'll conclude from here. We'll do the Hebrew. The final paragraph. He says, we said that when you have miracle and nature at play at the same time, that reminds man of how important each individual is. Because that reminds us that even though there are many people who are receiving the same gift, there's still the individual aspect where each individual is getting it. The fact that Hashem makes different individuals, this one get, this one not. You see, Hashem is gauging who's supposed to get and who isn't supposed to get. אלא שכל זו בזמן שליטת הנהגה של טוב השם לקוביו. All of this works when Hashem is doing good to those who hope for him. שאז ההשפעה היא בבחינת עידור שיש בה תורח לכל אחד ואחד. That's when Hashem makes it good for each one that deserves it. אבל בזמן שליטת הנהגה של טוב השם לכל שאז ההשפעה היא בבחינת השקעה שאין בה לתור אחד לכולם, אז בוודאי יש בה בקבלת ההשפעה משום גרירה, כי בהנהגה הזו נגרע הוא כל מקבל לך כלליות הקבלה, ואז בוודאי שאין כאן מקום לגילוי מדרגת יחידותו של אדם הראשון. Leaving Mitzrayim was really a point of distinction between Hashem doing the kindness for the whole world at the same time until that point, and in 49 days Hashem is going to say, now I'm giving a system to the world. When does Hashem start showing us the world is about to change? With the Makkah of Dam. With the Makkah of Dam, Hashem says, no, human beings, I have different expectations of you. I'm going to look at each of you and have specific expectations from each of you. The fact that two people can drink from one cup and different things come out of that cup was the beginning of a revelation that we were supposed to appreciate, that Hashem was changing his connection to the world. I'm with you.
But at that point, the Torah was only coming to Am Yisrael. Israel was being born at that point. The point of the 10 plagues and the Torah wasn't going to anyone else.
Right.
It was coming to us.
Well, that we'll assume so for now.
Let's say yes.
Because if the Egyptians might have had the chance to do tshuva, and then
they had the chance throughout the 10 plagues, they could have. You see, some people joined us. Some Egyptians did join us. There were Erev Rav. They had a lot of people joining us. They had that capacity throughout. They had the capacity to do tshuva throughout at every point. They even had warnings, and part of the point of the plagues was that they should recognize Hashem as one. So what Pachad Yitzchak, what Ravotner is trying to, what he's saying in this piece is that the plagues was the beginning of a recognition of a uniqueness. Hashem treats each one individually. It's not just, you're all the people, what difference does it make the Jewish people? No. Every individual has his important role. And every individual is going to be treated in an individual level. It's not just the way it's been the first 26 generations that Hashem just says, I'll forego the whole world and everything's going to run its course. Now that we're about to have that shift where Hashem gives the Torah and He's giving us the business and He's saying, now earn your keep. So at that point, Hashem starts showing us, and I want to show you. I'm looking at each of you. And that begins with Makas Dam, and that continues. And suddenly we look at nature differently, and we say, the sun isn't shining for everyone. Look at the Egyptians. The sun's not shining for them. The sun is shining for each person individually.
So it wasn't like Hashem bypassed His other kids to come straight to Bnei Israel. There were chances for the other Shaar HaAmim to do.
For sure. Yeah. Guys, with me? Okay.